It's time for the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
Broadcasting live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
When the world was a time of this and that, I was young, didn't know to hold it back. Now we're here in the world, something else. We could leave any day and call for help. We were gods, nobody was above me. The A on my chest like a Dolce. The A on my chest, put your fist up. The A on my chest like a chipmunk. Alvin, Theodore, breathe in, breathe out. Me and more, breathe in, breathe out. Never mind, it was time. Number nine, let my lies be line with a death wish. Be right, didn't help. No name on a guest list. Hold on, we're destined.
Big series tonight, Astros. Well, big series this weekend. Starts tonight, Astros, Rangers. Hunter Brown on the mound. We saw Hunter be the guy we became accustomed to in his last start. That was a reminder of what he's capable of. The seven strikeouts, no walks, couple hits, seven innings of scoreless baseball. That's the guy who gives you a little confidence that when he's out there, you can win any game that he starts. We'll see if we get that guy again with the Rangers in town. It'll be on Apple TV. So just a heads up, if you're looking for it on Space City Home Network tonight, you won't find it. Apple TV is the place you can see the Astros start their big series against the Rangers. Rangers lose last night to the Rays, so only a half game back with a chance to take the division lead with a win tonight. So here we are. Apple TV. I don't mind it. I've got it, but I get it for anyone who
yeah, I understand.
For anyone who doesn't have it, your Astros are playing good baseball. Now you have to find a way to watch it when you have become accustomed to just simply turning on Space City Home Network.
Stick around.
Seeing your team.
Watch Stick.
Silo. Oh. Season 3 episode 5 I think is out.
Watch the Owen Wilson golf.
Maybe you want to see Anya Taylor-Joy in Lucky.
Yeah.
Perhaps. Or I would recommend not watching her in that. Not that it's bad, but you can also go see her in The Gorge what's his name? Wyatt Teller?
Miles Teller.
Wyatt Teller. What if Wyatt Teller and Anya Taylor-Joy were in The Gorge?
I forgot about that.
He played her romantic interest in The Gorge.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes.
Not as finest.
It is Miles Teller. I just want to put Wyatt Teller in all of Miles Teller's movies now. Top Gun Maverick.
How's he fit in that plane? You got to see it.
Movie magic.
I got to see it.
He really slimmed down for the role.
War Dogs. He's selling arms in Iraq with Jonah Hill. Or not Jonah Hill. Yeah, Jonah Hill.
What's the movie where he's a drummer?
Whiplash.
Whiplash. Wyatt Teller in Whiplash. Having J.J. Abrams yell at him. Come on. And who was his love interest that he told that he dubbed at some point?
I forgot. That's a big see that movie once.
Yeah.
I got it.
Gotcha. You don't need to see it. Not a rewatchable, huh?
No.
I'm with you. I didn't need to see it again. Melissa Benoist, Supergirl. One of the variations of Supergirl. More popular than the movie.
Not my Supergirl.
Which one is it? The one from The Flash or Millie Alcock?
I don't know.
Which Supergirl is yours? Apparently Supergirl's doing well on Apple.
On demand.
To buy it, yeah. So it's having new life, I guess.
There you go. Watch Supergirl after watching Astros.
Well, you have to pay for it. Extra. It's not just on Apple. It's on, as you said, on demand as it stands. You can buy it from Apple or rent it as it stands. Let's get to Chris. He wants to talk some Astros. What's up, Chris?
Hey, what's up, guys? Yeah, my question was if you guys can break down the matchup between the Houston Astros batters against Evalde. Last time out, the Astros did pretty good against them. I just don't remember if they were in Texas whenever they played against them or if they were in Houston and what his outing looked like in Houston, you know, being from Houston or whatever. So I was wondering if you guys can break down the matchup between our hitters and Evalde tonight. Now, hang up and listen. I appreciate it. Love the show.
Well, I'll pull that up. But Evalde, over his last several starts against the Astros, his last couple starts, he's gone seven innings. He went seven in a loss to the Astros in their series in May, and then at least late May, And then he went another seven in a win against the Astros in mid-May. So recently, he has been able to go deep in the games against the Astros. And he's won a couple, had a couple no decisions. I'll try to find what he's done against the current Astros as far as batters are concerned. But the Astros, and this stretches back to a point where it doesn't matter because we're talking about 2011 when he started facing the Astros. But overall, he's like 5-6 against them with an ERA, about a little over three. Actually, a little bit more than that. It's about 3.6. So it's probably right in line with what he is as a pitcher. The Astros don't have crazy success against them. He's a good pitcher. And let me try to find some of these numbers since you asked. Jose Altuve is 16-42. So he's had a good career against Nathan Eovaldi. Other guys who are currently active or on the team, it's gonna take me a little bit more time. I didn't have that pulled up, but thanks for the call, Chris.
So it is crazy. He had in 2 weeks playing the Astros, both went seven innings, gave up five hits and no earned runs in one game,
mm-hmm.
and four hits, five earned runs in the other game. It is like, I feel like you're going to get some length out of them just looking at it. So
Yordan's been great against them.
Yeah.
12 of 25 with five extra base hits.
Yeah, and you're at a spot where he's been in Texas now for so long, and even before that he was in Boston, played him in the playoffs.
Yeah, there's been a lot of starts.
Yeah.
He's been connected with the Astros because of his ties and also because of the teams he's played for for a long while now. He's been around quite a bit. But your best hitter, Chris, has had a good time against them, so maybe that continues tonight. And by that I mean, of course, Alvarez. Now, it'd be great for Altuve to continue his success. He's been less great this year. So it'd be great to have him have a big series, but you should expect a good matchup. The Astros don't get him out of the game early, and then you got Hunter Brown on the other side. So
it's a good
way to start a big series. It won't decide the series itself. Won't decide the division race. They're too close for that, and we still got so much season left. But it's better than the alternative where we continue to discuss, should they trade a guy? Should they not? We actually have real baseball to watch and baseball that's going to mean something for the rest of the season.
And I believe with a win, the Astros will clinch the season series and the silver boot.
Which is something that you always want to win.
Yes. And, in a year like this, if they're tied, you'd want the tiebreaker. But, also the silver boot. There's hardware. The silver boot will be at Daikin Park, roped off. No, I don't know. I don't know.
How does that even happen? Do they
run into the dugout and take it?
It's not Big Ten football. It's not Paul Bunyan's axe. I don't know what. Like, do the players, are they giving some heads up that, hey, you guys won the season series?
Hey, by the way,
the boot's staying home, or we lost it, so it's gone over. I don't know. I don't know how. It's a baseball trophy that isn't the AL championship trophy or the World Series. So who presents it? Does anyone present it? Does it just
Nolan Ryan?
Yeah. Does he come out and present
in a
the trophy?
Split jersey.
Yeah. I just now I'm thinking about the Cotton Bowl where someone puts on that golden hat.
Put on the boot.
Yeah. What happens?
Yordan's
Yordan, don't do anything with your legs. Just don't even take the chance. So
yeah, but I mean, hey, A, it's always good to win something. B, probably more importantly, it would be nice to have the tiebreaker in a tight division race like this. Especially, I mean, maybe this is too reactionary, but it does kind of feel like the Mariners are fading out of this, and it's going to be between Houston and Texas, although. Oh, yeah. I guess the Mariners are only 2.5 back. It just, 53-57 looks a lot worse than 55-55. But that still is only 2.5 games. But being like now that the Astros are 500, I see a below 500 record. I'm like, ugh, that's disgusting. How do you guys live like that?
You're like Triple H in that meme where he's like, waving, ugh, disgusting, get out of my face. Ugh.
Below 500.
Yeah.
on July 31st.
Disgusting. Meanwhile, one great Evaldi start away from.
Yeah, that's why I didn't say in August. I was, yeah. I thought about saying below 500 in August.
Get out of here, you. You.
Get these beggars out of here.
If people don't know what that is, just to, why Sean randomly said that, it is a clip from Robert Pattinson's character in The Odyssey where he screams that, and he says it like a slur.
Yeah, says it with a lot of venom.
We know that, well, maybe it won't ever happen, but we know if Quentin Tarantino ever wants to do a Django 2, we know who he can grab. Beggars. Get these beggars out of here. Pattinson's got it in him. I'm not saying that's him, but we know if the character.
He's a great actor.
Well, he's a great actor. He could pull that off, and people would believe it. All right, thanks for the call, Chris. We'll go to break, and then we got one more segment to go before we get to Michael Carroll. Certainly get your call in if you want to talk something other than movies and television. But if you're just waiting for Michael to join us, I get that too. We will be back.
Follow us on socials at ESPN Houston, and don't forget to have our push notifications on.
You gotta change your push notifications. Look.
It's the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
So we got that call from Chris about how the Astro batters have fared against Nathan Eovaldi. I mentioned Yordan, 12 or 25, I won't say by far, but he's got the best average, hitting over 480, or at 480, excuse me. Christian Walker's had a good career against him. In 20 plate appearances, 16 at bat, so not a lot, but he's hitting 375. Yiner's hitting 333. Altuve, as I mentioned, he's had the most at bats against them with 58, has hit 7 home runs against Nathan Eovaldi, and a batting average of 328. So that's pretty much it. If you go to some of the other everyday guys, not great. Jeremy Peña hasn't had much success, does have a couple home runs. Paredes has been bad. His batting average is under 200. So of the guys you expect to see tonight, some very good and some not so good. So we'll see how it goes in the first game of a big series tonight against the Rangers. So the Baker Mayfield thing, we talked about it as the show ended yesterday. If you don't know, Baker Mayfield and the Bucks have not been able to come to an agreement. He will play this year out as a free agent, and a couple of things came out afterwards, because Baker did the presser with the media as a whole, and then he did a couple sit downs. I think he might have talked to Pete Prisco, who was in Bucks camp yesterday, and some others. And it came out that I think Jeremy Fowler of ESPN, in his talk with Baker, came out that the Bucks only offered him a short term deal, 2 years, and not at that $50 million plus range, I believe, that a quarterback of the caliber Baker believes he is, would get. So the Bucks fell short in both avenues, years and per year, as far as money is concerned. So in his comments, he talked about not being treated like a franchise quarterback, although he's been told he's a franchise quarterback. So he was very public about what he felt was disrespect. He talked about how his family had built a life there. I think he recently had a kid with his wife. So they were willing and wanting to set down roots in Tampa Bay. And the Bucks are like, you know what? Let's see how things play out. We'd rather not commit to you long-term. Whether they came out and say it or not, he believes their actions say they don't think he's a long-term solution here. And they'd rather play it year to year almost. And you know what? I don't blame the Bucks. I don't blame them. How old is Baker? Is he 30? He's 30 plus. How old is he now? Baker had a not so great into his year. And if you're the Bucks, do you want to be tied to Baker, particularly if you're bringing in a new head coach? Because Todd Bowles, if he doesn't win this year, he's probably gone. And, yeah.
If they don't make the playoffs.
Yeah. So do you want to have Baker locked down while you're bringing in a new head coach, you may want his own guy. I don't know that you want to stick, particularly a quarterback of Baker's caliber. There are some quarterbacks a head coach wants to be stuck with.
Yeah.
But if you are a new coach, particularly if you're an offensive coach, you might not want to have to deal with, yeah, Baker's fine, but I really like my own guy, and then have to manage that situation. This is something that the Dolphins took care of with Jeff Hafley. They gave Tua a big deal, but their deal had some outs because of Tua's injury history. It still didn't keep them from taking on the largest cap hit, I think, in NFL history with Tua. But they made the decision. We're not going to stick Jeff Hafley with a guy who certainly has questions around him. Even though we paid him, it also helped that they fired their GM. So they started fresh completely. So Hafley and their GM were on the same accord.
Cardinals cut Kyler Murray, brought in a new head coach.
And their cap hit wasn't as
onerous.
Yeah. So the Dolphins, it was Tua and Hill. That's why you're going to see a team not only consider, I think they are the youngest team in football because of the contracts they could give out. It was a lot of minimum deals to younger players, and even some older players got minimum deals. It's just going to be at least projected to be a very untalented team unless some of their rookies hit. Shout out to Jacob Rodriguez, already causing turnovers in Dolphins camp. Didn't pick off Quinn, though. That was for Michael Taft.
Of course not.
Michael Taft got that done.
Yeah, well, you know.
Texas on Texas.
They've played each other. They've been on the same field once or twice.
Well, certainly the case. So the Bucs are doing it a certain way. They're not just caving.
Yeah.
And certainly probably helps their decision-making is if you don't draft a guy, the ties are a little different, even though Baker's been there a while now. And it made me think, of course, about what the situation here is. The Texans look to be interested in getting a deal done. I don't think they're giving CJ the, hey, you want to do it 2 years at a time? I don't think they're doing that.
2 years, $40 million per?
Yeah. Even if it is closer to the $40 million per year range, which likely doesn't get a deal done for CJ's side, this is going to be a long-term commitment.
Yeah.
The Bucks are pulling a Rafael Stone.
Yeah, they are. And Baker Mayfield is not a, yeah, you know what?
I guess I'll take it.
I guess this is the mark that has spoken. I mean, especially for a guy who's had the career Baker Mayfield's had in the NFL of like, you know, bounced around for a while.
He'd love to be in a spot.
Yeah.
Long term.
But if you're not, you know, coming with the right offer, he's like,
and he's also used to moving.
Yeah,
so.
I can do it again. Yeah. Or, you know, I mean, he said it in his availability either yesterday or the day before where it's like he told the Bucks GM, like, try to sign me this offseason, it's going to be worse for you. Like, he's just a guy who believes that the offer that he wants will be out there.
I will play well enough.
In February and in March.
That you are going to wish you came to an agreement with me because there's no way you're going to want to lose me and I'm going to hold you to the fire for disrespecting me. That appears to be Baker's plan. We'll see if the rest of the Bucks come along for the ride so he can get that job done. He does have the receivers to do it.
Yeah.
And an offensive line, that's pretty good. Tristan Wirfs, one of the best in the business. We'll see what Zach Robinson has, as I think he's their new OC. Is he the guy in Tampa, or is he someplace else?
That sounds right. That sounds right.
Baker has been a bit of a kingmaker for OC turn head coaches, less so last year.
With Lizard?
But
Lizard, I think.
Now it's Zach Robinson's turn to turn his time with Baker into a head coaching job. If you don't know, it was Dave Canales, then Liam Cohen, then you had Grizzard.
It's not Glizzard. It's Grizzard.
I was like, Glizzard. I was like, I think there's an R there.
Yeah, I made his name more fun than it was.
It is more fun if his name is Glizzard, but I believe it's less fun, just like the offense last year. Grizzard. Now Zach Robinson's turn. The former Oklahoma State quarterback who was throwing passes. Passes to Dez Bryant, or was it another one?
I think he was Justin Blackman, but I could be wrong.
I thought that was Brandon Wheaton.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, then yeah, he was Dez.
It might have been Dez Bryant way back when. It was Dez Bryant. Got a photo of them two together.
There we go.
All right, I did want to mention this since I did mention Rafael Stone offhand. One of the guys he got to agree to a deal that was less than what he wanted is having some issues. If you don't know, Tarrison is in the middle of a less than happy offseason. I don't know that Tari's been happy about a lot of things this offseason, from the deal he took with the Rockets to now filing, I guess, filing court papers to get a protection order against his ex-girlfriend. There was some social media stuff that Tari did that I didn't touch on because I didn't know all of the context. But people who say they know suggested it wasn't the best. That's for others to kind of investigate. But what we do know is Tari Eason has decided that being in California is not safe if the woman he used to be with is allowed free run. And he has said that she ruined over $90,000 of his clothes. She struck him. And I think in the filing, there is a suggestion that she would have someone try to beat him up. So these are things that you don't want surrounding one of your young players in the offseason. You don't want his face prominently displayed on TMZ.
Yeah, let's avoid
it. It's not something you want. So the woman in question is named Marilyn Moritza Melo Rodriguez. She's been barred from going near Tari, his home, his work, his vehicle, or NBA facilities where he is playing or practicing. The temporary restraining order was filed in court earlier this week, and as I said, she's alleged to have struck him multiple times in the face with a closed fist and threatened to kill him. So she dumped bleach on his designer clothes, wrecking $92,000 worth of personal property. And Tari would like her not to be around in California. I guess that's where she resides when the Rockets are playing in venues in California. So that's an ugly story. And hopefully that all works out. But Tari Eason he's not having legal trouble. He's involved in a case where he is using the courts to try to protect himself. So hopefully everything works out and no one gets hurt. But we've already, at least according to the filing, seen that Tari's been struck in the face several times. All right, let's get to Eric when we come back because he wants to talk to Michael Carroll. Anyone else want to do that? You can. The number is 713-780-3776. We'll get Michael in, the host of Comicast, when we come back.
And action!
It's Friday, and so you're probably wondering, what am I going to watch this weekend? Besides all the sports, of course. If you're not sure if you should go to the theater or stay home and binge something, we got you covered on the Del Olalea Show. Time to talk about what you should be watching this weekend with Del Olalea, Sean Mapes, and some guy named Michael Carroll.
Some guy is here with us, those of Comcast. He does that show with John Lee. And they have contributors across the Nerdverse that will join them to talk about things. So, but you can find the latest issue. It dropped today. It was about Comic-Con, which just happened, with Shalice Williams of Real Movie Junkie. So go to Comic-Cast. Had a couple of issues this week, right?
Yeah, it's been a busy week.
Yeah, you also gave a non-spoiler review of Spider-Man. So part of your one-shot series, I
believe. Yeah. So Jong's been out all this week, of all the weeks to be out. But he's been out this week.
He ain't got that dog in him.
He's got that family. Yeah. Fast and Furious. He's been out, so I had Ashley Saunders of Ashley & Co. talk X-Men 97 and Avengers Doomsday with me. And then you mentioned her a moment ago, Shalice Williams, a Real Movie Junkie, and then Najeer Chambers of the Culture Collective. We sat down and talked Spider-Man Brand New Day because we all saw it Monday night. So non-spoiler thoughts on that, and then spoiler review comes out next week.
Let's get to Eric here since he waited. Then we'll talk about Spider-Man Brand New Day since all three of us have seen it. Michael may not have gotten the treat of watching another Jumanji trailer since he was in a screening.
I did see that trailer online, but I didn't see it in the theater.
Yes. Me and Sean were treated to it on the big screen. Sean, not a fan.
Wow. Boo.
Wow.
Too much Jumanji. Not enough anything else, honestly, to be honest with you. Let's get to Eric here. He wants to talk to you, Michael. What's up, Eric?
You guys, Michael, heard there's a Danny McBride is trying to make a new G.I. Joe movie in the works. I heard he's working on the screenplay. You can creep to that. Also, I heard Wonder Man got canceled after one season. It was a pretty good show. I don't know why he canceled it. And did you see the new trailer? Well, another trailer for Street Fighter? I'll hang up and listen.
So, yes, a couple things. And All things that Eric said are actually true for once.
So yeah,
that,
no,
that,
that's 100%.
Nice. I think he saves his truth stuff for this segment, and then he'll hit me with rumblings he didn't really hear during the regular part of the show.
Jeremy Pena to the Red Sox.
Yeah.
Rumblings.
Been debunked multiple times by me to him, and he still calls in about it.
Since the first time he called it, it's already been debunked.
Yeah.
He visits different campsites and gets different info.
Yeah. Are we getting, which Eric is this, Earth 616 or?
It's the multiverse of Eric.
Yeah, possibly. I don't know which one this is, but. Speak to some of the things he mentioned.
Well, he is correct. Danny McBride, who we all know from, like, I'm trying to think of
Eastbound and Down.
Yeah, Eastbound and Down.
Righteous Gemstones.
Tropic Thunder. Like, all that stuff. He, apparently, big G.I. Joe fan growing up, and he
Tracks.
Has been given, yeah, exactly.
I would guess. If you just, like, is this man a fan of G.I. Joe? Yeah, probably.
Yeah, Danny McBride. but he's going to be, he's writing currently the screenplay for the new G.I. Joe movie. Paramount picked him, Hasbro, I guess, and Paramount has picked him to do it. They've been taking pitches over the last, I don't know, however many months, and he's the one that won out in the end. So curious what he's going to do with that.
Is this a G.I. Joe Transformer movie, or is it going to be separate from Transformers?
That's a good question, because I don't know where, because there was a Michael Bay continuation, supposedly. Then there was the Transformers G.I. Joe crossover, and now I don't know if this is tied to that or if they just abandoned those projects and are going in a different direction. That part is kind of confusing. I still don't know about that. Wonder Man, yeah, it was renewed back in March or February or something for season two. Then yesterday came out that they decided to cancel it now.
Was there any reason given?
Well,
I saw the news, but didn't see any.
It was reported. I don't know that it was been fully announced. I think it was just a report that came out. Yahya Abdul-Mateen II, he acknowledged that was the case on his, I believe, Instagram. So, I think it's a bigger thing with them trying to pull back a lot of what they've been doing in terms of production,
Disney Plus and TV,
Disney Plus and movies. Because we learned at San Diego Comic-Con between Doomsday, which releases December 18th, to Secret Wars of December of next year, we're not getting any movies released in that time frame, which I am surprised by. And then after that, we get Black Panther 3 in 2028, and I guess Ghost Rider in 2028 as well. But no Fantastic Four follow-up, no Shang-Chi, no none of that. And I guess that also speaks to the Disney Plus stuff, because we're getting Vision Quest in October, whatever it is. We're getting that for Marvel live action-wise, but we have no idea outside of X-Men 97 and Your Friendly Neighborhood Spider-Man. Both those animated shows are getting season threes next year, but outside of that, they're really paring back. Something's happening behind the scenes. I don't know. People have jumped to the conclusion that, Marvel TV is going away. I think it's more of Marvel TV is going to be more separate, like it was initially way back when, than they tried to do. And
use the TV show to bridge the gap between movies.
Oh, and of course, Daredevil, Born Again. That's, of course, going to be season three and probably season four in the next couple of years. So that will be fine, but there is a strategy change happening at Marvel Studios, and we're witnessing it right now. So, and then Street Fighter, yeah, I did see I guess it's a clip trailer.
So
because it's Blanka focused.
Yeah, from what I have not watched it, but the tile that comes across when you're on YouTube, it's Blanka. Jason Momoa is Blanka. I got enough of Jason Momoa as Lobo this week. I'll hold off on watching him as Blanka. I saw the first trailer for Street Fighter. I'm like, yeah, okay. I mean, for whatever reason, I cared more about Mortal Kombat than I do about Street Fighter right now. Also, I'm not a fan of throwing wrestlers in the movies that I'm supposed to care about.
You know,
it's Cody Rhodes as Guile. Get out of here.
Sonic Boom.
Out of here.
Yeah. Roman Reigns is somebody in that. Two, I don't remember.
I'm
not as two familiar. Wrestlers. You're
right
you're
or wrong.
The scales.
Right or wrong. I immediately think, how could this be good?
Yeah, yeah. No, you can't have more than two. Having two wrestlers or more in a movie, unserious.
And when one of them isn't John Cena, which I will watch what he's in.
John Cena and Batista don't really count.
Yeah, they're at this point, I separate those two.
Even then, they're
rarely
in a movie with another wrestler.
Isn't, like, Hobbs and Shaw, because it has Roman Reigns, it has Rock, it has John Cena.
Roman Reigns is not allowed to speak in those movies.
He grunts or stuff.
Roman Reigns
does not speak in that movie. That's how bad of an actor he is.
I didn't say anything. I'm just saying, that's a lot of wrestlers.
And while I will not speak for Sean, because he does have a love for the Fast and Furious franchise, who said Hobbs and Shaw was a good movie?
I thought he did. Did you not?
Yeah, it is.
Like I said, I won't speak.
John Cena is not in that movie.
Oh, yeah. I guess he's not.
Cena and The Rock are, I don't think they, other than Fast X, which doesn't really
count. Fast X. Yeah,
they're not
in
the same movies.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah,
boom.
I guess so.
Debunked.
Dang.
So, you tried to hate on Fast and Furious. Swatted that out of here.
So,
which, by the way.
At my house.
Which, by the way, I don't know. Speaking of John Cena, there's a trailer for his Matchbox movie. It just looks like Fast and Furious.
Okay. I didn't know there was a trailer out.
There's a trailer for Matchbox for Apple TV. And it's, you know, Matchbox, of course, we're talking about, you know, Hot Wheels and stuff like that.
Oh. Those
Matchbox.
Yeah,
places.
Matchbox.
Okay. Oh, okay. Yeah.
But when you watch the trailer, it's just like, why are we calling this thing Matchbox? It's just Fast and the Furious.
They want to get that Matchbox fandom to watch the movie.
It's insane.
It's a Trojan horse.
Yeah.
When I watched that trailer, I was like, the studio was right. Like Kool-Aid, the Kool-Aid movie that they talk about at the beginning of the series. Yeah, 100%. Like, that's what this movie is, Matchbox. Let's just make a movie about the cars, but not make it about the cars. It's a weird trailer.
Matchbox the movie.
Yeah, Matchbox
as
the
opposed
movie.
To what?
They
just
have
call
to
it Matchbox.
That this is a movie.
Yeah, for whatever reason. You mentioned an animated version of Spider-Man. When we come back, we'll talk about the big release of the week, Spider-Man Brand New Day, and we'll get into some things you may tell people to not watch, because I think you're going to tell people to go watch Tom Holland in the latest Spider-Man. We'll get to that.
I don't know.
That's why I said I think.
I don't know.
We'll see. I don't know. You don't know. That's why I said I think. We'll get to that when we come back.
You're listening to the Del Olalea Show. That's kind of full of sports, but also filled with a lot of movie talk. Now back to the Huntington Bank Studios with Del Olalea and Sean Mapes.
We are back. We have all seen the movie making all the money, Spider-Man Brand New Day. It is Tom Holland's fourth Spider-Man movie. It's the one he's been most involved in. He has talked about how this one was the one that got to him, as far as what, how successful it would be, how people would take to it because of how involved he was in making this one. Was he rewarded for how much he cares about it, Michael?
I made the joke that it was like, oh, who knows? No, he 100%. That movie, it was amazing. It was spectacular, if you will. Spider-Man Brand New Day, I had a chance, like I mentioned earlier, I had a chance to see it on Monday, and it met my expectations. You know, a lot of the theories and stuff that we've seen didn't necessarily hinder or anything like that, but it did meet my expectations of what I expected from Destin Daniel Cretton stepping in for John Watts. He, of course, changed things up visually, and I think that's one of the biggest strengths of the movie, because visually this just looks completely different, I think, from the other Spider-Man movies, Far From Home, Homecoming, and No Way Home. Those always felt brighter. And I don't know, like, there was a certain look to them. And when you watch the trailer or watch clips, the lighting is vastly different. It feels darker in some ways, but I think it's all part of the emotional core of it all. Because as fantastical as it gets, it's still grounded in Peter's emotional journey, because he's still dealing with the ramifications of what happened at the end of No Way Home. And that puts him in a dark place, honestly, and causes him a lot of issues. And so seeing that, I think Tom Holland nailed it. I think Zendaya nailed it. I think the dynamic between Punisher and Spider-Man,
it's really good.
Is really good. Yeah. Like, it helps because I know they're like friends in real life, but like,
they've been in a couple, they spent a lot of time together over the last several years.
So their dynamic is just hilarious. I could watch them arguing like all day. Like, they're very, very good chemistry wise.
So, you know, the trailer, because you see the eyes go black and it makes people think that it could be one thing.
Right.
I won't disavow you of that thought if you haven't seen it. But they do a good job of not explaining but showing why Spider-Man gives you that visual as the movie works its way through the plot. Of course, we won't give away the secret character that the star of Stranger Things, Sadie Sink, plays. But I think her best stuff, honestly, it's weird to say, is the things the character does when she's off screen. Sadie Sink can hit the emotional notes that she needs to hit. So certainly not taking anything away from her. But the scene involving Spider-Man on, let's just say, high up on a ledge.
Oh, yeah.
That I don't remember a more dark thing.
Yeah.
That Marvel got off in a long time.
Mm-hmm.
What happened there?
That's a very good scene.
Yeah. In the audience, people gasped when that reveal happened. And at the end of the movie, people applauded. It wasn't full because it was like the 1:30 showing, but it was a loud applause as the movie ended.
So I have a funny story about that. I took my cousin Kirsten, which you know Kirsten, to see the movie on Monday. And right before the movie starts, she turned to me and was like, is this like a, because it was a press screening, so it's only press members. She's like, is this like a crowd that's going to like clap and stuff like that? I was like, no, this, you know, they don't do that. Literally 1 second later, Spider-Man pops up and then it was like, she looked at me like, listen, I don't know what to tell you, man. That people are excited about Spider-Man. But yeah, this movie, I think what Sadie Sink brought, what Zendaya brought, the limited bit that we get with Jacob Batalon, he's good as Ned. Even Mark Ruffalo, it's not like he does a ton in the movie. As Mark Ruffalo, but it's still, like, a lot of the cameos and things that make appearances make it feel like a lived-in comic book world.
A lot of people said that. It didn't. While you use the term cameos, because that's kind of what it is, it felt like these people were part of the world. Mm-hmm. They weren't just dropped in. You know, I won't give away one of them, but even one of the people that you could maybe just say that's a cameo, there's a reason for that person to be in New York, and you would have seen it in a previous movie. So all of it, I would agree. It didn't feel like, hey, we need to add some star power to this.
Right.
It feels like people Spider-Man would have been in contact with because he's in New York, and these people also are in New York.
And that character that you're referencing emotionally would recognize why Peter's going through what he's going through, and it makes a lot more sense. Like at first, I was like, I don't know, and then more and more I think about it, the more I'm like, oh, okay, that all makes sense. I loved how they weaved all of that in. This movie is very much a fan of the video games as well, the recent ones, the 2018.
The tank scene.
The tank scene. There's some sequences with some villains that have almost the exact same type of weaponry from the video games. And there's moments where there's an early montage of Spider-Man, you know, fighting bad guys. And he does the thing where one of them falls off a roof. Spider-Man, the video game, if you throw somebody off a roof, they get connected to the building with web. You see him do that, and you see him like web up people like he would in the game. It was really cool, and it's a love letter to fans of the games, the comics, but it also focuses on a personal journey and personal story, which I appreciate.
Yeah, the director of this one, Destin Daniel Credin, directed Shang-Chi.
Wonder Man earlier this year.
He's also done some smaller things with a current person in the Marvel world. Brie Larson, he did Short Term 12. He did Just Mercy with Michael B. Jordan. So he is an accomplished director. He's done small things. He's done big things, and he did a really good job of that. We are almost done. So I did want to get to some other things, but I think unanimously we'll hear from Sean here. Thumbs up, or however you want to rank a Spider-Man movie.
It was a really good, really good. All the Spider-Man stuff they got that was in this movie. It's like very much like, I am just like in the back for like, hell yeah.
Same.
I'm when here. He, when he, you know, like saves a kid,
yeah.
riding a bike and slaps him on the helmet. Like, you know, like it's just like, yeah, that's Spider-Man. Yeah. I'm just back in that mode.
There's,
you know?
There's a lot of that where
the web slinging, POV. There's just some POV like stuff from you know where you're in Spider-Man's POV that I'm just like, oh my god, it's like a step up.
The shot where it's not like an Iron Man shot where you
oh yeah in the eye
it, the eye yeah. but it's like a sideways look like yeah. it's yeah. really cool. And then the third act fight scene that's all wire work, bro, like that's so
yeah.
good.
God. Yeah, that I mean so I can't. I want to talk about that part of the movie, but yeah.
No, it's very good. One post credit scene yeah. that like,
you can either stay for, or
you can stay for, or right? Like I mentioned Kirsten, she was like, "You could have just told me afterwards." Like I didn't need, yeah. that. You know what I mean? Like, so if you want to stay, you can, but like, don't feel.
I've already seen it online.
Obligated,
and I'm glad I had that 20 minutes of my life back.
Yeah,
sitting through the credits.
Yeah,
so. We all say go watch it. If you're into mm-hmm. the stuff that we certainly talk about here, go watch it. Michael, probably not even close as far as going to the theater, but what else is out there for people who aren't going to watch Spider-Man before we go?
I will say there is The Samurai and the Prisoner, which is a limited theatrical release that looks really good, 95% with critics. It's a samurai movie, but it's also a whodunit, which is interesting, and it looks like classic in the way it's presented. And then Furious on Hulu is out. That's getting rave reviews.
People say watch that, yeah.
And then Batman, Cape Crusader, season 2 is available right now. All 10 episodes are out. And then I don't watch the show, but I know a lot of people do. Lioness, season 3, premieres on Paramount Plus this Sunday. You have that. And then Fightland, a new series from 50 Cent. Season 1 starts today on Stars. Yeah.
That's pretty much his network. Now, Art asks, is Zendaya in the movie? She is in the movie. Yes. You asked about her wardrobe. If you care that much about a wardrobe, just watch her on the red carpet because she just looks like a regular New Yorker, which may not be what you're looking for. As she, I think she might be with the passage of time, maybe in her early 20s, 23, 24, whatever.
Art, don't be creepy. Don't make it creepy.
He asked the question, Art. She's got plenty of red carpet appearances if you're looking for that. Looking as glamorous as she can look. We're done for the day. That's what that music means. Thanks to Michael.
Thank you.
Michael Carroll hosts Comicast with Zhang Li. And, of course, as I mentioned in the previous segment, he has plenty of guests as well. Sean, since we're done for the week, what's it going to be?
Flip me over, Mike.
Can do.
Thank you to Michael. Speaking of creepy, flip can do.
What? I can. Like, I'll flip for the recording.
Yeah, okay. You know, okay. Yeah, you're very capable of doing that. Some questions should be asked.
That's true.
We're done. We'll be back on Monday. Hopefully, the Astros are in first place. Rich Eisen's up next.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
We're taking a break.
Okay. That's cool.